It's more than just your output, more than a bike. When you hear your shout out, you know it's all right. Put on your magic pants and let's go. We're cruising into the power zone. Clip in, set yourself free. Come on and take a ride with me. You know what you need to know and what's it all about. Everything you need, it's on the Clip Out.
Welcome to the Clip Out Podcast, episode 354. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Week's going a little better than last week.
I would say a lot better.
And Sydney got a job.
Sydney did get a job. So we have two employed children.
We can start packing her things. Get her out of here.
Let's get Brian out of here first.
Well, she's 17. We're watching. So we always have a classic sitcom in rotation. And so right now we're revisiting The Wonderful World of Barney Miller.
We sure are.
And I think it's held up pretty well.
I'll tell you this, it's a lot better than Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies was bad.
It was brutal.
And I loved that show when I was a kid. I love Tom Hanks. I love Peter Scolari. And like rewatching it as an adult, and not just like there were topics or jokes that haven't aged well, it was just aggressively not funny.
Yeah, I literally tuned it out every time we watched it.
I was so, but you know, I'm such a completist and it's only two seasons. I'm like, well, I got to power through
yes,
to get to the end.
You got
to. It was bad. It was a slog. It was worse than those last two seasons of Rhoda.
It was worse for sure.
But anyway, what made me think of that is in that episode of Barney Miller when his daughter wants to get her own apartment in New York City, circa 1975, like the height of their lows,
right?
Like New York City is just a cesspool. And then they reveal later on, casually, not like it's a thing, they just mention that she's 17.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're letting a 17-year-old girl
get her own apartment?
Remove gender. A 17-year-old get an apartment in New York City?
Times have changed,
the
man.
The height of Serpico and the French Connection?
But, you know, it's also kids were so much more independent. You know, we have really slowed down. And I don't even know that it's a bad thing in some ways.
Yeah.
That like they get to grow up a little bit slower. But yeah, times have changed, man. When I was 17, I immediately moved out of my house. Like I was like, I graduated school early. I went and lived on my own. Not easy to do in the 90s where with a 17, I had two roommates and only one of us was over 21.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal to be able to get an apartment. But, you know, kids today, they're like, I'll just hang out here till I'm 30 if you let them.
Yeah.
It's very different.
It's what I did.
I know. I know. I wasn't going to point that out.
But I was gainfully employed.
You were. And you were going to college.
I was going to college and working almost full time. And and the college was like 2 miles from my mom's house. So it was like, why would I?
No, it wouldn't have made sense. It truly wouldn't have. But times are just different.
Yes, very. So also, I have one sibling who's 6 years older and was married and gone. So it was literally my mother and I in the house. Like it was like, yeah.
And really looking back, especially as young as she got sick and passed away, I'm glad you guys had that time together.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, before we forget, let's do our bingo call.
Okay. How's that one?
It's still not a drum roll.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, bingo number one this week is Jen Sherman.
Here we go.
I feel like just about anybody who listens already has that on there. That's easy to break in.
She's a pretty popular one. You would think that most people have probably already checked that box. But
the people who
haven't probably do not like her classes. And so they got to go out of their way to do it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's the point of the bingo.
Absolutely.
We're going outside our comfort zone.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about the book club real quick coming up on April 9th.
Yeah, on April 9th, we are going to be discussing Made by Stephanie Land, and that'll be at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to that.
And if you want to cheat,
you can just watch the Netflix series.
Watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like when you were in junior English and the teacher would have special questions that could only be answered by the book.
No, we're not the movie. We're not going to be checking like for completeness. Like we're not we're not taking it that seriously.
Oh, she has a Chihuahua in the TV show, but she had a Saint Bernard in the book. You've been busted.
During this particular scene, she was wearing jeans and brown loafers as opposed to the last scene with her red shoes. What does that mean? Okay, that's not the kind of book club I like to have at all. I am not interested in that discussion.
Oh, we know.
You know. I don't know if everybody knows. Nor do they probably care.
And then who are we talking to this week?
We are talking to Marissa Walsh this week.
Okay. And other than that, what pray tell do you have in store for people?
We are going to be talking about a new employment program that Peloton just added to the roster, their new trade-in program that they just launched in Australia, not to mention the next NBA ambassador in studio visit. We've got some lawsuit updates. We also have some instructor news that we need to make sure that we cover, not to mention a celebrity sighting slash audio sighting. How do you say that? How do you,
well, a celebrity
hearing?
Heard it.
Celebrity heard it. And then, of course, we have some In Case You Missed It. And I think that is all.
Okay. Well, before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcast, TuneIn, Spotify. I still struggle not saying Google.
I know.
And then I talk about how I'm struggling not saying Google.
I know.
YouTube, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's super helpful for the people that come along after you. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheClipOut. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You can also sign up for our newsletter where you will get weekly reminders that we exist and we will send you links to the things we talk about. You can also watch all of these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/TheClipOut. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/TheClipOut, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You get the episodes early if we get them early. And you get ad-free episodes. And I think this week's bonus episode looks like it's going to be pretty long. There's a lot of stuff on there.
There is.
That we had to clip out, to put in the clipped out, because we're just trying not to make these things
super long.
2 hours. Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Peloton in the news.
Peloton has joined the Military Spouse Employment Program.
They sure have. So what does that mean?
What does that mean? Wait, they couldn't do that because they're woke and they hate America.
I mean, some people do think that.
They just did that because they're woke and they hate America. Isn't that how the argument works?
I'm sure that it does.
The lack of evidence is my evidence. Prove me wrong now.
There are some people that argue.
I'm an internet comment come to life.
So the thing is, when it's kind of fascinating that military spouses face a staggering 22% unemployment rate.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because you never know. Like if your spouse is getting moved around and you move around with them, obviously if they get deployed, you're probably not tagging along to Afghanistan or whatever, but if all of a sudden, like, you were in Norfolk but now you're in Duluth, I don't know if they have stuff in Duluth.
I have no idea.
Let's say they do.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like, how do you keep a job that way?
That's exactly right. And so the cool thing about Peloton doing this is basically what it means is that when it's possible, they absolutely like hire people.
They like prioritize.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if they're prioritizing hiring them or they're prioritizing making sure that they are available to see, like, hey, this job is open.
Right.
Like, and they're making sure that visibility is part of it. I don't know if there's number driven, you know, I don't know about the details of that. And I don't want to make that assumption.
For sure.
But yes, when they can, they're going to hire the spouse of a military veteran. The other thing is that it's a reflection of Peloton's vision to pair business success and social impact where they can. So that's nice that they're able to do that in this particular case.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Jen Dane, who is an Air Force veteran, wrote this article up for us.
How about that?
So thank you to Helper B. Jen.
Yes. Peloton Australia has launched a trade-in program.
This is fascinating.
Well, fascinate me.
Okay.
I mean, you already fascinate me. But fascinate me about Australia. Fascinate me down under. Go on.
So I'll fascinate you about Peloton products while we're on the camera. So... You know how when I first got my Peloton bike, you were like, how is that different than the elliptical that we have sitting there?
Absolutely. I said that.
Well, if we were in Australia back then and this program existed back then, we would have been able to trade in the elliptical.
Gotcha.
For a Peloton bike. So you can trade in non-Peloton equipment to put it toward like a money toward your bike. Put it towards your purchase. So that's pretty cool because you're going to be saving up to $500 on the Tread or the Bike Plus package. And then you can get an additional $100 off by trading in old equipment.
Oh, that's cool. Especially when like, honestly, like with the elliptical, we just wanted it gone.
Absolutely.
So like, I know $100 isn't a lot, but it's still like, didn't we pay someone to come take it away? Because it was so heavy.
I think we might have. Yeah. And this is it does include ellipticals. If you're curious, it includes treadmills, stationary exercise bikes, ellipticals, rowing machines, cross trainers, ski machines, stair climbers, Pilates reformers, home gym racks and sets, abdominal machines, leg machines, full body machines. And it can be in any condition. And it's as long as it's safe to transport, they do not care. Now, they have a delivery partner called Winning in Australia. And so they work in conjunction with licensed recycling facilities. And that's how they're transporting the equipment. That's where they're transporting the equipment.
I was wondering what they were doing with the old stuff. Because they, you know, I would think Peloton probably doesn't want to encourage a new generation of people to get on ellipticals, right? They want you to use a Peloton.
Exactly.
But so, okay, they're recycling it.
They are recycling it. So the question then becomes, for me, are they going to roll this out in America? Is this one of Barry's A-B tests? Or is it just possible to do in Australia because their delivery partner already works with a recycling program?
Or...
Oh, another or.
I'll throw another or. Or do they not feel the need to do it in America because sales are stronger here than there? And so this is a way to maybe try to goose the sales in Australia.
That could be.
So throw another elliptical on the Barbie. I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but it was funny.
Someone in Australia is like, what is he talking about?
I was just picturing an elliptical going up in flames. It's just a big old elliptical bonfire. Which
I was picturing
then,
a pink elliptical.
Then that leads to, I get it because the Barbie. Yeah. Then that leads to like now you're burning plastic into the air. Good job, Tom.
Oh, man.
It's the opposite of recycling.
I've ruined the planet. Well, I am a white guy. So Peloton has announced its next NBA ambassador in-studio visit.
Yeah. And so that is going to be taking place live with Jess Sims. She is going to be doing an in-studio run with Mikal Bridges. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I clicked on the wrong one. So I was like, wait, I don't have any details here. That's going to be taking place this week. So March 28th at 10 a.m. Eastern. So by the time you're hearing this, it is already out there on demand. Of course, the first NBA class that we saw was Josh Hart, who visited with Alex Toussaint. And so this is our second, but it's a run. So that's pretty exciting. It's neat. And it's interesting that they are kind of really focused on these four ambassadors, but also that they were already people who enjoyed using Peloton.
Yes.
So I'm like, does Mikal run already? Like, was it Josh Hart? he already did the bike, but Mikal did running? Or was it he does the bike, but he's just the guy who happens to be taking a run class?
Do you think that was a happy accident? Or do you think when they were putting this together, they were like, hey, NBA, give us some people that you already know use Peloton?
I feel like they either asked or NBA offered, one of the two.
Gotcha.
That's my thought. So
we should also point out that two of Peloton's NBA ambassadors were named to the USA men's basketball team.
Yes. And although that was official in January, we didn't know that they were ambassadors.
So we didn't care.
Right. I mean, technically, we still don't because it's basketball.
Because it's sports.
But I thought that that was a pretty cool addition. It's nice. It's nice. So.
Absolutely.
It's coming together well for Peloton. I think that's good press all the way around.
So Amazon had some big price drops during its big spring sale.
It did. Up to 51% off of Peloton gear. Now, there's a pretty big range when you hear the word gear, because that could mean anything from the guide to clothing to the bike, right?
Right. So,
but the Bike Plus price came down to $2,100. The regular bike, $1,250. That's $195 off the usual price. And then on top of that, you could get things like the foam yoga block set down to $26, and you could get sweatproof weights for $23. All kinds of things across the board. And you have to realize too that Amazon just added this spring sale. So, you know, they do their Amazon days or deal, whatever
it is, not well, this Black year, Friday or whatever.
Yeah. This year they also added deal days to everything. And now they're adding a spring sale. So basically once a quarter, plan on a big sale from Amazon.
Gotcha. So who knows if any of that stuff is still going on by the time you hear this, but if you're interested, you might want to just take a little perusal around the old Amazon.
Never a bad idea.
Peloton in court.
Peloton is embroiled in yet another lawsuit, because it's just what happens over there. And this one seems to be about whether or not they have to pay for parts that may or may not have been ordered.
Correct. Fascinating.
Yes.
So typically, the way whenever I worked in manufacturing and I would be in charge of the purchasing agreements and making sure those all happened, you would say, like, we are saying we're going to order X amount, right?
Right.
If in this particular case, Peloton never placed the order. So what it specifically says is, Peloton argues that the contract is strictly volume based, and Maryville, who is the other Maryville engineering company, okay, they are saying there's a fixed cost even if Peloton doesn't place the orders. Well, to me, you can't have it both ways. Like, if a person says that, like, if we order 10,000 units, it's X. If we order 20,000 units, it's Y. And they only order 10,000, then they can't really have to pay for the cost of the 20,000. And this is what this is saying.
Right.
So I don't understand. I don't understand how, how the judge is saying that Peloton's view of the contract doesn't sway New York judges. Now, I don't know if Missouri law is different than
sure.
New York law in this case,
yeah,
or something else. Like, I get that if you said, I'm going to order 20,000 and you ordered zero,
right,
there's still a fixed cost associated with that, right? Because you have to have enough raw materials on hand to be ready to ship right. 20,000 units.
And I will say this article is behind a paywall, so we can only see the first like 2.5 paragraphs. So yeah, maybe there are details in there if we wanted to invest in Bloomberg law.
Yeah, and we really don't.
And it's not cheap.
Mm-mm.
It's not like it's like a $5 a month subscription. It's expensive. But yeah, so it's that's an interesting one that we will have to keep an eye on.
That we will.
The first 2.5 paragraphs. On updates.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure as it morphs into something larger, there will be more outlets reporting on it.
That stands to reason.
I have no doubt. Got to get those Peloton clicks.
Absolutely. And coming up after this, we're going to talk to Dr. Jen. So she's going to answer one of your questions. Sit tight.
Getting the psychological edge with Dr. Jen.
Joining us once again via the magic of ZoomTube is Dr. Jen Mann, licensed marriage, family, and child therapist and sports psychology consultant. She was a 5-year national team member in rhythmic gymnastics and sports psychology for USA Gymnastics. It's Dr. Jen. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Good. We have a question from Carol Cass today, and she is struggling with family support, being called to bring home sick grandkids and things like that, changing her plans for the day. Peloton is what keeps her sane, and her workouts and consistency are her happy place.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that making boundaries with your family members is really important. I understand that sometimes there are emergencies.
Of course.
Is it a sick grandkid? Maybe your daughter or son can't leave work and there's just no way around it. But I think that it's really important to be able to spell out to your family, like, let's say you worked out from 10 to 11, like 10 to 11 is my self-care time. Please don't interrupt that time unless there's an absolute emergency. And if your family is used to you always saying yes and not taking good care of yourself, you may get some kickback. Like, they may be like, what do you mean you're not going to be there for us? And you need to kind of gently ease them into you having boundaries and you saying no. I remember I had a girlfriend who decided to, like, really make good boundaries. She got herself into therapy and then she kind of started saying no to friends and making boundaries. And she told me she had two camps of friends. Oh. One camp of friends were like, thank God you're doing this. We've been waiting for years for you to take care of yourself. We're so happy to see you finally looking out for yourself and treating yourself as well as you treat all of us. And then she had another camp of friends who were like, you suck. I can't believe that you're saying no. I can't believe that you're not there for me. And she realized that those people were not her true friends. And I think that there may be a situation here for this person who's writing in where there may be some people in her life who may have taken advantage of her being so helpful and so giving. And it's like, you don't want to be the giving tree. You don't want to give away your leaves and your limbs. And then next thing you know, all you are is a stump. And typically we become a resentful stump. And that Peloton is a big part of her limb, like her main, like, tree parts, and that she needs to really make sure that she carves out time. And I think it's okay to be flexible and be like, okay, an emergency came up. I can't work out at 10. I'm going to work out at 5 instead. You know, like, I oftentimes, because I see my clients from home virtually, sometimes I will stick in a workout in between people to kind of get it all done in a day. I'm all for being flexible, but I'm also for that you have to send the message that your self-care is a priority and that you need to be the one to make those boundaries.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Easier said than done for some people.
It was like, I feel like the next week's question should be, so how do I make those boundaries that you talk about?
You know what? Let's cover it now.
Okay.
The first thing is to announce to the family members and the friends and people who typically are asking you to break boundaries that you are in a new phase of your life where you realize that you haven't taken very good care of yourself and that you are working on self-care. And to say, I really appreciate, like, this is her speaking to her family and friends and saying, you know, one of the things that really helps me to take care of myself is my Peloton. And maybe name three things that you're really working on to take care of yourself. Maybe Peloton, let's say meditation and having downtime for yourself or creative time. And so to spell out, these are the things that I'm doing. I really want to be there for you. So your family and friends don't feel abandoned. I really want to connect with you. Our relationship is really important to me, but I also realize I've neglected my own relationship with myself and I need to take better care of myself. So I think the first thing is to announce that. Then the second thing is also to prepare them, like, hey, there may be times now where I need to say no. I think that I've been overdoing it in my desire to you to feel loved and to take care of you. Start saying no now. So you may want to have some backup options for childcare, for picking up for whatever the list is of things that she has been doing for her family. And then I think the other thing is to also say to them, I know this is a big change for you and that this may bring up some feelings and I'm here to talk to you as those come up. We can talk about it. And I really appreciate you supporting me trying to take better care of myself. I'd like to be here for a long time. And my Peloton workout is part of my health and my longevity plan for myself, for my future.
Yeah, that makes, again, it's really nice how you break it down into bite-sized chunks.
Yeah,
that
so it's
people
like three steps right there.
Yeah,
for
I love
sure.
that.
I was like, start off by saying, I don't mean to be a dick, and then be a dick.
But you're not.
You're joking, but you bring up a good point that, you know, anyone that really cares about you, like that friend I mentioned, if they love you, they're not going to view this as you being a dick. They're going to go, oh, thank God you're finally taking care of yourself. And the people who go, oh, you're a dick, you're not giving to me enough. Yeah. Those are the people who you may want to reconsider your relationship with them.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all that. Until next time, where can people find you?
all social media at Dr. Jen Mann, Two Ends on Jen, Two Ends on Mann. And I post a lot about my Peloton workouts and my self-care. So you can find that on my stories on Instagram.
Wonderful. Thank awesome. You.
Instructors in the news.
Katie Wong is back on the schedule.
She sure is. Glad to see it. She had taken off a few weeks to freeze her eggs.
Because of Easter?
Right. Yeah. And now that those eggs are successfully frozen and she is feeling back to herself, she is back on the schedule.
Awesome. Well, congrats to her.
Absolutely.
Toon Day has popped up on an episode of Hulu's Life and Beth.
She did. This is her first role on television, so that is really exciting. Congrats to Toon Day. I know nothing about Life and Beth. Now, I'm going to lean on you, Mr. Pop Culture. Tell me about it.
So it's in its second season. It stars Amy Schumer and Michael Cera.
Oh, it sounds like something we would like.
Yeah, potentially. I've never watched it. There's so many shows.
I know.
It's hard to remember. Sometimes
we can't keep up with everything.
Sometimes I can't remember the shows we're actually watching.
It's true.
Let alone the shows we want to watch. Yeah. So it's a lot to keep track of.
You remember that Barney Miller, though.
Well, because it's on a DVD that's sitting out on top of the the bookcase. So should we still call it a bookcase when it has no books on it? But
that's a good question.
But yeah, so she pops up on an episode of that. Although I will say, I'd like to point out, she is not the first Peloton instructor to be on an Amy Schumer show.
Was Robin the other one?
No.
Who was it?
It was Aditi Shaw.
Oh.
She was on before she was a Peloton instructor.
Oh, back in her acting days.
Back in her acting days, okay. She pops up on an episode of whatever her show was called, Inside the Mind of Amy Schumer. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
But yeah, she pops up on an episode of that.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. Congrats to Toon Day.
Andy Spear has partnered up with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Is that considered a partnership? I thought he just showed up.
Well, it's like an event that he's...
Okay.
Like, it's like a VIP package that you can purchase that he's a part of.
Oh, I see that now.
So I read the clip out articles.
Yeah, no, you should.
Like,
you should.
Religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you don't.
Who wrote this one?
Helper B. Nikki?
Nope.
Lindsay?
Yep.
Damn it.
Keep guessing. You can figure it out.
I should have got my first. My first guess was Lindsay. And then I was like, but it's sports.
Ooh,
so maybe it's Nikki.
I see that conundrum.
That's why I flipped, because I was going to say Lindsay. Damn it. Son of a bitch. But at least I knew what it was about.
That's fair. That's fair. That
so
is fair.
I don't know that you should be spiking the basketball so much over there.
Well, wouldn't it be a baseball in this particular case?
Well, you don't spike either of them.
Okay.
So.
Well, anyway, the package includes a limited edition Rays and Andy Spear water bottle, along with premium seating in the lower reserve section. So that is pretty cool. You're absolutely right. And they have a meet and greet package, and you will get to interact with Andy Spear during the game, and it's held during the third inning. So that is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting cross promotion, especially the meet and greet angle of it.
There's also going to be an on-field fitness class and scheduled at 8 a.m. I don't know about that. So you would have to get there super early. So that is for the very, very committed.
Well, you know,
to
what?
Andy and baseball.
You know, if you aren't living
and doing a HIIT workout,
if you aren't living anywhere near a Peloton studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Tampa Bay counts as not near a Peloton studio.
Yeah.
This is the closest you're going to get without hopping on a plane.
That's true.
So like, I could totally see people sucking at 8 a.m. is not that early. You'd be okay.
Oh, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I just probably wouldn't want it's just not my thing.
I do wonder though, like if you're doing a HIIT workout, you're sweaty and gross.
Yeah.
And now
what are you
going to
do until the game?
Do you drive back home?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would.
Do they use one of the locker rooms?
I don't know. Can we just run inside real quick? But if you're a person who's really into baseball, I could see that being super cool because you're on the field too. That would be very
like
cool.
Like if you're a Peloton person and into baseball, this checks a lot of boxes.
It does. Yeah. It does. It is very cool. And Lindsay also included here that not only was Andy a gymnast, but he was a Division I athlete. So he has a lot of ties to the sports and athletics, as many of our instructors do.
For sure.
Yeah.
Has Kendall Toole teased a new man in her life?
Yeah, according to this image, she did. Hopefully you put up the correct one.
I did. Okay. The shadow one.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's really funny because she just, it was just like titled Weekends. And you know what? I normally don't cover this stuff, but when they post it and they're dramatic, it's open.
Yeah.
Like I figure it's open. But to me, this could go so many different ways because she doesn't mention the person, but she's standing next to clearly a male, clearly in shadow, and she's purposely not showing him. So is it indeed a love interest or is she just with people? Like I don't know. Either one is hilarious,
right.
So I don't even have a problem with it, but I think it's also funny.
It's also, I think there's like six images in the series and it's the very last one.
Yeah. And some of the instructors were like, oh, we're gonna need to talk about your weekend. So they were all playing into it.
Yeah.
So I don't know which it is, but you know, if she's happy,
yeah.
If it is a new love interest and she's happy, good for her.
Yes.
I can't wait to find out when he comes out of the shadows. Sounds so dramatic.
It does. It was National Puppy Day this week.
Yes, it was. And it was glorious.
And over at theclipout.com, we put together a little article spotlighting the instructors and their puppies. I bet you read this one.
I did. And by we mean Helper B. Nikki. And she spent a long time on this because, get this, out of 58 instructors,
yeah,
28 of them have dogs. So she listed every single one. God love her. Like, that was intense.
That's a lot, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a lot. So she goes through here and she lists out the new dogs. Mm-hmm. So like Adrian Williams got a new puppy. His name is Frankie. Maddie got a new pity mix named Nana. So cute. And then she went through and she also talked about like the ones who are foster dogs or that are also doing something like working. The puppies are working. So also Nikki mentioned that Olivia is an advocate for foster dogs and that she became
a foster mom.
Yes, she did. And Susie Chan, she's dog mom to Roy, Peggy and Manny. And she became an ambassador for Paws to Rescue UK. And there were several other highlights here, like Rebecca Kennedy has Sunny, which is one of my favorite dogs ever. She's just the prettiest little dog. Not as pretty as Twix.
And she's laying right here.
I'm just saying.
She comes down here and we call it, she likes to come down and pupcast.
She does. She pupcasts. And she's here pupcasting now. And she is prettier than Sunny.
Okay.
In my opinion. You know, no disrespect to Rebecca Kennedy Sunny.
Now Rebecca Kennedy's going to be mad at you.
Well, I doubt she listens, so we're probably okay.
That's probably fair.
But either way, Nikki listed all of the love here from all of the different instructors, and it's a lot of fun. So if you didn't get to read it, you should.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
Coming up after this, we're going to talk about the latest artist series and who it features and which celebrity confessed to their Peloton usership. So stick around. If you're looking to avoid carbs, it's always a challenge trying to find bread that fits in with your keto lifestyle.
Right, because you want to make sure that it tastes good and you want to make sure it has good ingredients. So I think Hero Bread does both.
Especially when you're in the store, you are overwhelmed with bread choices.
Yes.
And I've had other breads before that claim to have low net carbs, and you are certainly sacrificing taste, texture, size.
Yes.
None of that with Hero Bread.
No, because sometimes on the ones that have the low net carbs, they have like no substance to it.
It's like eating air.
It is. And Hero Bread actually really tasted good and it felt like a solid piece of bread. Like I did not feel like I was giving up something.
I was surprised at how big each slice of bread was. Here's the real test of a piece of bread. I didn't make a sandwich with these. I just had toast.
Which you love because you have toast almost every day.
I do. It was the best textured bread of this sort that I've ever had. And if you're doing the math, it's 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and high in fiber.
So don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order.
Go to hero.co and use code TCO at checkout.
That's TCO at HERO.CO.
Peloton Artist Collaboration.
The latest artist series spotlights Cardi B or Cardib.
Yes, yes. We're going to go with Cardi B.
Okay.
Okay.
You insist.
Boy, I didn't know people had such strong opinions of Cardi B.
Like, well,
this has been very polarizing.
She's a well-known woman.
That was a pun. She's very polarizing. Yes, yes, because I did not know until this week that she started out as a stripper.
Ah.
If you listen to the bonus episode, you will understand why that is hilarious. I will go into that later, but not about Cardi B. Let me be very clear.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't know that, but people got real snarky. Like, there were some very, very upset
because
people.
Of her stripper past,
I guess. And like, I guess I don't really know her music.
Is she the one that sang WAP?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So like a lot of
she has some very strong lyrics. And I'll be very frank, this is not my type of music at all. Like, I don't enjoy it, but I also don't get mad when other people listen to it. So like, I mean, do your thing.
Yeah.
And, anyway, though, there are going to be 10 different classes, 3 new lane breaks and an outdoor run. And they all dropped this week on March 28th. So hope that you get to enjoy those if that is your thing. And I look forward to sharing more on our bonus episode.
And I should point out for people who aren't familiar with Cardi B.
That, yes, please do.
That WAP is not spelled W-O-P. It's not...
Really? There are people that don't know that?
It's not an Italian... Well, I'm like, if you don't know that,
that
song...
That could sound like a...
Like a slur. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a slur. It's an acronym.
And we cannot say...
It's really raunchy. But, yeah. But it's not... It, like,
we'll use the F word, but we won't say that. But I just don't like that word.
But if you're not familiar with your music and you hear that out of context, you're going to be like, well, that's a hateful slur. That's not what the word is.
That's fair. So. That's fair. Just Google it or listen to the bonus episode. We'll share more.
Yes. Peloton celebrity sightings. Jake Gyllenhaal was on a recent episode of Smartless.
He was
a very popular podcast, is almost as well as we do.
I mean, I can't say it with a straight face, but it's a second. It's a very close second.
So, he was on there and he discussed his Peloton membership.
He did. And that entire quote starts at 1853 if you want to listen for yourself. But I have to say, I recently took a class with Maddie MiGiacomo that really cracked me up. What is the movie that Jake is in? Right. That's the big movie that everybody's talking about.
He's in the remake of Roadhouse.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So Maddie was talking about Roadhouse and like how he really watched it as a kid and like, that's fine and all. But like, then he saw it with Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, he saw Jake Gyllenhaal in it and he was like, whoo. I think he has some appreciation.
Is that what you want to call it?
For his physique. Yes, I do. That was my interpretation.
Jake Gyllenhaal has been getting his money's worth out of his Peloton. According to one Maddie MiGiacomo.
Yes. New content.
Before we dig into all the content du jour, let's do our next bingo call out. Still not a drum.
Dang it. Okay. This week, bingo number 2 is Cliff Dwenger.
Okay.
Remember to make sure that your filters are inclusive of German and Spanish so you can get some extra classes with Cliff.
And you can go check out our recent article about with tips on how to translate classes. So if his class is in spoken in German, you can still know what's going on.
Yes. Those tips that Celestine Rojas gave were amazing.
It's now time for the TCO Top 5, where you chime in with your favorite classes of the week, and then we throw them back at you. The first item up for bid, these are not ranked. This is just the order we happen to be telling them to you in. So number 1, the favorite Peloton ride.
Yes. Okay. So Courtney Fields listed this one. It is a ride from February 3rd, 2024. The instructor was Mila Lazar. It was a 30-minute intervals ride. And it's in English, and the workout structure is fantastic, according to Courtney. She says that she took this when Mila was a bingo call out and absolutely loved it. Yay, Courtney!
Hey, bingo's working.
Her energy is amazing, and the workout is very challenging. The time flew by, and I booked it because I will definitely take it again.
And number 2 is the favorite Peloton walk Plus Run.
Okay, so this is from March 21st, and it was a Walk Plus Run with Jess Sims. So both Grace West and Rebecca Allen both loved it. Grace said that all the songs were 2 minutes long. Each song alternated between a jog and a run and an uphill walk. She loved that the class was tailored to all levels and there was no pressure to run fast. She was truly able to let stress and worries fade away for the full hour. Highly recommend. Rebecca also added that the music was excellent.
A jog and run sounds more like a jog and run than a walk and run. Just throwing that out there. I would not be happy. Like, I signed up for a walk and run.
You can walk. That's fine too.
Number three, your favorite Peloton run. Is it a sprint? Is it everything just one more than they told you?
No, because it was an endurance run with Bex Gentry. This took place on March 21st, and we got a lot of votes for this one, including mine, because Bex Gentry did like an entire dump of her Tokyo Marathon experience. So Vanessa said that the Tokyo recap run, because of the emotion, the white confetti heart, the stories and the format, and so many good people on the leaderboard. And I said that I second this. I took it today. It was amazing, inspiring, relatable, and a lot of heart. There were a roller coaster of emotions. I've been emotional lately in general, but there were tears on this. But like, it was great. You need to take that.
Okay. Number four is favorite Peloton walk.
Yes.
Is it really a walk?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
She's not going to make you jog?
I mean, for you, she will. Just you. March 24th, 45 minutes with Kirsten Ferguson and Sarah Lester picked this. It was an intention setting walk. She said that it was a recap of Kirsten's half marathon experience mixed with her recovery from hip surgery. Sarah does not usually repeat classes, but she will be doing this one again.
And number five, your favorite unstackable Peloton run.
Okay, so we got to go back in time a little bit from this. And this is with Susie Chan, my girl. And it took place on September of 23. And this was a 90-minute run. Kathleen Conway entered this and she said that who knew 90 minutes on a tread could be enjoyable. Her calming presence and perfect amount of instruction and push made this a great class. I wish she could run next to me on my upcoming half. Kathleen, she can. You just listen to her classes back to back to back. It'll be great.
And let's take a quick look at this week at Peloton.
Okay, we've got some fun stuff coming up this week.
Hannah Corbin's 10-year dance music ride.
Yes, she is celebrating her 10-year milestone. It takes place on March 29th at 3:30 p.m. It's going to be 30 minutes, and it's going to be all about Hannah's celebration.
You also have a Peloton spring treasure hunt.
Yes. I'm so glad you included this. I wanted to not only talk about
I didn't include anything.
Well, I'm glad that the treasure hunt was on the list this week. I was trying to give you some credit.
Oh, everybody knows better.
You're right. You're right. I shouldn't have tried. Okay, but the spring treasure hunt, so much fun. I took one of the classes today, and in this particular one, what they do is they list the treasure hunt clue at the very end, as you're doing your like cool down and stretches. It's in the middle of the stretch. And then they direct you to another class, and you have to take that class before you get the badge. You have to complete the class. So some people have been saying that they did not get their badge, but I think that means you picked the wrong class.
You got the clue wrong.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That would
and
suck.
They're not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, like if it's one of those things like trivia, if you know it, you know it, and
right.
It's easy. But if you don't know it, it's not as easy to figure out. So, but if you, and also just a little tip, I've had a lot of people say like, I don't want to retake the class and I don't know what the clues are and somebody should write them down. Guys, just go to your app and like replay just that section. You don't have, just mark down when it is and just replay that section. And then when you're done taking your class, you can just delete it. Like you don't need anybody to write it down. It's super easy. I promise. Yeah.
Long form run with Bex Gentry.
I'm super excited for this one too. March 30th at 11 a.m., 75 minutes with Bex.
Pilates celebration with Joe Aditi. With Joe Aditi.
Where did that come from?
You know why, where I said that?
No.
In my head, I was like, did you know who invented Pilates? It was Joe Pilates.
Wait, what?
And here's the thing. It really was a guy named Joe Pilates.
I know.
Like, it sounds like something that you would make up.
It does.
But it's Joe Pilates.
That's hilarious.
That's who invented Pilates.
Well,
but Aditi does not have Joe anywhere in her name.
No.
But she was on Inside the Mind of Amy Schumer.
She's also unveiling a new 20-minute Holi Pilati class this week. That is a popular Hindu celebration that's a festival of colors and welcomes the spring season while celebrating the end of winter. I mean, that sounds like a great freaking celebration. I love that.
There are also new scenic tread classes.
There are. So they're going to be taking place in both English and Germany, and they are dropping on March 27th. There are classes with John, Jocelyn, Jeffrey, Marcel, Maurer, Mela, and Tobias. So lots of them are taking place, and that, like I said, drops on the 27th.
And finally, there's also new dance cardio classes.
Yes, and very big congrats to Camila, who joined the dance cardio team.
I believe it's Joe Camila. Go on.
So she is the newest dance cardio instructor. There are several classes that are dropping, six to be exact. They all dropped on the 25th, so they are out there waiting for you when you want to take them.
In case you missed it.
Just to make sure people are aware, Peloton has two financing options.
Yeah, yeah. This is more of an in case you missed it type of thing. But so in the U.S., we've had Affirm for years.
For a long time.
But more recently, like in the last year, Peloton also added Citizens Pay. And it's considered to be a little bit different than, say, Affirm, because it's considered to be not a credit card, like it's a credit line. So if you say, if you want to try to get like a credit line, you can buy more things with it. Like you're not just paying for one thing.
Okay.
You're saying like, okay, I have $2,500 and then you can get, let's say, I don't know, a regular bike, but you can also get all the accessories.
Okay.
Separately if you want. And then that all goes under the same credit line.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit different.
There was an interesting article this week on Campus Rec Mag talking about Pelotons being available at Harvard.
Yeah, I just thought this was interesting.
Well, nothing but the best for them Harvard kids.
I mean, they ought to get the best.
And they've
those
had them
fees
since 2018. If you read the article, these aren't new.
They are not new.
They've had them for a while. I mean, they've probably been replaced and updated four times by now because it's Harvard.
That's fair.
And they have like $40 billion in their endowment fund.
Yeah. And it flat out says, we wanted our members to have the luxury of taking a class when it was most convenient for them. Yeah. Luxury.
It's like, so right now, my son Brian is looking at colleges, as you know.
Yeah.
Course,
I'm
but
it's well
for the
aware.
Listeners. But like, if he ever presented a college to us that was like, we're concerned with the luxury. You're not going to that school.
That's too much. Like, that's too expensive.
We can't afford luxury. No.
We're on a Honda budget.
Right. We're on a Hyundai budget. Used Hyundai.
After that last fiasco, we sure are.
Yeah. I'm like, luxury? Hell no. We don't have luxury.
What's so funny is his last dorm was like such a piece of shit. And I just mean, like, it was awful. They had four students crammed into a room smaller than the one we're in right now.
I mean, it was like a standard, like, house bedroom, like a 20 by 30 or something. Like, it was,
it was so tiny. I think it was more like 12 by 14.
Okay, yeah, probably.
And then they had four beds in it, like two sets of bunk beds. And that was it. And a tiny little dresser. They had no room for a desk. They had no bathroom in their room. They had to use like shared bathrooms.
There was no closet.
No closet.
Yeah.
And it was just craziness. And he's been looking at all these schools that have like real dorms. And he's like, they have a bathroom in the room.
I don't have to pee in a bucket.
It is so funny. Wait, they have a real cafeteria?
Right now he'd be like, I get my own pee bucket. I don't have to share a pee bucket. This place is luxurious.
That's why he doesn't need a Peloton.
Exactly. Exactly. And coming up after this, we're going to talk to Marissa Walsh. So stick around.
Checking in with the Peloton community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube, it's Marissa Walsh. Hey, Marissa, how's it going?
Hey, guys. It's going really well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. I always kind of like to start these conversations with a general, how did you find Peloton and decide that it was a good match for you specifically?
Definitely. Well, I've been in the fitness industry since I was 19, working full time, 35 now. So have always kind of been in my own fitness world. And then when COVID hit and all the yoga studios closed that I worked at and all the gyms shut down and the layoff emails came through, which I was not expecting. It's actually my fiance now was like, why don't we get a Peloton? And I was like, no, we don't need this bike in our house. This is ridiculous. And he pushed for it. And so first we got the app and then I got really into the outdoor runs, like very into it. And then we got a different bike and we're using the app. And then it was like, you know what? It'd be really nice if all the numbers made sense, especially since we got into the Power Zone classes.
Oh, yeah.
Early Matt Wilbur's lovers. And so then it just shifted from there. And I fell in love with every modality that they have to offer. So we are the COVID crew, or I am the COVID crew in terms of Peloton. But I also think it's a blessing because I found something that I really, really love and never, ever have been this into a platform before that I really feel like benefits so many aspects of our mind, bodies, and community.
What do you think was the big thing that like flipped your decision there? Because you were so anti. So I'm really curious, like, what was it about Peloton that you were like, ooh, okay, now I'm all in?
Well, I mean, I taught spin for 10 years. So to buy a bike and have it in your house and be taught by others, it feels silly. It felt like a waste in my head. But again, gyms were closed. I missed riding my bike. Outdoor biking wasn't doing it, especially since I didn't do a lot of long outdoor rides living in the city meaning Baltimore City. So it's kind of the thing where it already turned the living room of my row home into a yoga studio. So why not turn it into a cycle studio as well. And so we got a really quick delivery. We got lucky because we got it really quickly. And then it was just like, wow. And it's similar, honestly, to when there's another podcast that the founder of Peloton was on, and he explained that he wanted the class because all the classes he wanted to take were full or they weren't at the right times. And that's kind of how I always was, because I was either teaching or training. And this just gave me that chance to take that awesome class whenever it worked.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I never really thought about it because we've had other people on before who have taught spin that were resistant, mm-hmm. but I never thought about the fact that like, if you want to take a spin class, but you teach spin class, mm-hmm. that's going to really limit your options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. You said all modalities. So running, do you do the rowing? Do you do the strength?
Yes. So we got the rower about a year ago and I love it. I got into rowing at first with Orange Theory and really enjoyed it at Orange Theory. And so sometimes I look at the bike and be like, oh, I'll do that. And I look at the tread, I'll do that. I look at the weights, I'm like, I'll do that. And now it's like, oh, now I can row too. And so I love, like I said, already mentioned Matt Wilbur's, and I love Adrian's strength classes. So especially when he came out on the rower, that was awesome. And then Bex is one of my favorites. So since they just added her, it's like, yes. And obviously I've taken everyone's class on the rower because there are a very few instructors, but it's been great to mix it up and to really learn how to row, because it's actually a very different or very difficult for me form of movement to master and do for a length of time that's not like your 5 minute warm up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people run into that with the rowing in particular, because it's not as intuitive as like everybody can run, even if your form isn't 100%, or everybody can walk. And again, even if your form isn't 100%, but if your form's not on with the rowing, then you're not going to get the benefit of it in your legs at all.
Yeah. Having never done either, I feel like
yes, weigh in, Tom. Yes, tell us all about
really
it.
People really want to know what a man thinks about all this.
Please share.
I feel like if your form is wrong on running, or like you won't know, but right. having watched rowing, if your form is wrong on rowing, you're gonna know
for sure.
So, like to your point, like yeah, your form might not be great, but there's a good chance you'll never even realize it if you're from a running standpoint.
Yeah,
until you really try to level up. And then you figure out.
You might be slow, or you might not be the best runner, because that would
But you're not going to get done and be like, why don't I know how to move my body forward in space?
Exactly.
In the same way with a row.
Versus rowing, whenever you do it wrong, it's like, why did I only feel that in my shoulders?
Right.
What just happened?
Yeah. Or why do my hands kill me afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah. Death gripping the handle.
Yes.
Things like that. But yeah, it's funny how. Or it's interesting how difficult it is. But again, like if you're running wrong, you're riding wrong, you'll get injured too. So that's
true
the whole other aspect of it that's hard. But yeah, I love the classes. I mean, I actually do a lot of the meditations, even as a yoga teacher. I actually don't take a lot of the yoga classes because I really like in-person yoga, but I have taken some and I'm like pleasantly surprised and happy with like how good they are.
I get that. So. I mean, I would think, especially when you do something yourself and you're good at teaching it, it's there's probably just this hesitation of they're on a camera. How can they possibly address everybody's needs? And I'm sure there's a little hesitancy with that, which I get, but I think they do a good job. I like their slow flows better than their faster stuff, just because I'm not very proficient with yoga and I need a little extra second to transition from move to move. So
Yeah, definitely. I would say I teach a more slow flow, so I respect that for sure. Like I have a YouTube channel with a bunch of yoga classes on it, but of course the professional lighting and sound and music and angles are not all there. So it's fun to see what that looks like too.
Oh, what a great point.
Yeah.
So from a teaching standpoint, you teach spin, you teach yoga. How did you get into all of the different things that you're teaching? You said you've been doing this since you were 19.
Yeah. So I entered college wanting to do action sports marketing, which is very specific. So it's like working in the surf industry, working with the action sports, which I think may have been renamed now, but I don't know for sure because I'm not in that world. And I actually failed calculus and I didn't want to retake it. And that was the only way to get into business school. And so then I found Parks and Recreation Management, which my advisor was like, you know, it's like business, but without the math. And I was like, all right, I'll go for it. And within that, I got a job at the gym while I was there. And I started teaching Awesome Abs. And it was a 20-minute class. And I said, I only want to teach Awesome Abs. I will teach nothing else. And then they're like, can you sub boot camp? And I was like, no, I don't teach that. I just teach abs. And they're like, please. And I said, all right, I'll teach boot camp. And then they're like, hey, will you teach step? And I'm like, no, I don't teach that class. And I was like, all right, I'll teach that class. And so it like started to build and build. And then it went into like surf instruction. Then I went moved to California for a summer, fell in love with hot yoga. So then it went into yoga. I'm from North Carolina. So I was there when all this kind of started and now I'm in Maryland. But as soon as I got here, I got spin certified. If that's what you want and that's the world you want to work in, you have to just build your certifications, build your experience, because that's how it starts. And it's just like a lot of the instructors, you know, they start off just teaching strength and then you see them grow into other modalities. And that's kind of fun for me because it's like, oh, look what they learned to do. Because I know that whole process. But yeah, so that's where it all came from. I literally fell in love with it and then had really good mentors, had great jobs, and built my own business from there.
That's awesome.
So are there very many like schools that focus on action sports as a
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard, but we live in the Midwest. I'm wearing parachute pants
when I was in business school, which has been a while, I was getting my MBA. I remember one of the options they had was sports marketing. I don't know if that's the same or not. Okay.
So sports marketing is like the what it is, but I wanted to go into action sports marketing. So I didn't want to work in like basketball and tennis and baseball. I wanted to work in action sports. So like water sports is kind of the thought process. So you would enter, and I went to UNC Wilmington. So it's in Riceville Beach. And if you surfed, you were cool. So of course I had to learn to surf and blah, 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 blah. So just being at the coast and being into all that was like what I wanted. But then I realized like it was cool to be around, but it wasn't like my jam full term. So I did some fun events and that. Doing those events has helped me now with my business because now I plan a bunch of events around fitness and yoga and stuff. So maybe one day Peloton will pick me up. We'll see.
That's awesome. So tell us about your business.
If they hire, they'll probably make us pull this interview down.
Yeah.
Hey, this is pre-Peloton, so maybe it can stay. It's pre-content. Sorry, you said tell you about
your business. Yeah, wait, exactly your business.
So I run Marissa Walsh LLC, which is my name, and I train clients virtually and in person, lead a bunch of fitness classes all over Baltimore City, as well as at festivals. Just got back from Nicaragua leading a international yoga retreat and have another one coming up in Costa Rica in February of 2025. So hint, hint, maybe you guys can come. I'll even let you do a podcast from there. And have a YouTube channel, work with some brands. I'm a Lululemon ambassador, different things like that. So again, it's been this journey because you just have to continue this step. And these memes come up on, I guess they're not really a meme, but they're like motivational quotes, and they say, like, you know, smiling at where you are now, which is where you never thought you could be. And that kind of is what my life feels a little bit like right now. And so that's really exciting. But it also is like, all right, what's next? Let's go. What's next? Come on.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just like from my brain personally, because I have like a full time job, but I also do all this other stuff on the side. And I'm curious, like, do you ever feel like, how am I going to get all this done? Or is that different because it's your business and that you're able to do that full time? So maybe you don't have that same like, that I get.
I go to therapy sometimes for that, to be honest.
Okay.
Because sometimes things just feel very overwhelming and I'm like, I can't do it. And you hit a point where it's like, what if I just had a 9-to-5, or not just, meaning obviously it's still very
challenging.
I know exactly
what you mean.
Yeah. But like, even I feel like people go to work, they come home, and then work stops. And with humans working, and then work keeps coming. But that's what I chose. But I also means if I want to not work Monday, I don't have to work Monday. There's an ebb and flow. And I try just to go like super hard during the summer because it's the summer and I love it. And then from there, I'll slow it down a bit. So I try to kind of work with the seasons. So we're amping up as we head towards spring, and then we'll just go, go, go. And then we'll slow it back down. And then, you know, we'll go to the spa one day. So those are things I like to do. I love to watch Bravo. That kind of chills me out. Go to the spa, go to therapy, play with my dog.
Do some meditation.
But it's like you just need someone. Yeah. You need someone to say like, hey, life's going to be good. And then you're like, okay, thanks. That's all I needed.
So don't ever teach snowboarding. Because you'll be going year round.
Then you're year round. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, and I just am terrible at it. I really thought I could try to snowboard. Me and snow and me and winter, we do not hang out well.
Okay.
So is it that much different than surfing? I can't do either. Did they look like they'd be similar enough to where if you could do one, you could do the other?
So I thought that as well, because I grew up a big wakeboarder, okay, like on the water. And I thought, man, if I can wakeboard, I could jump a wake. Obviously, I could snowboard. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, well, this was not what I thought it was going to be. So I personally don't find them to be similar. But again, there's probably like this huge snowboard enthusiast out there who's like, she's so wrong. So just depends on who you talk to.
Well, this will be on the internet. So I promise you, there's someone out there who's going to tell you
please,
that you're wrong.
Comment. Give yes. us those really strange comments. Yes. Where I'm like, what? Okay. Thanks for the feedback. Yeah. I'll take it to heart.
Exactly. Exactly.
We always sometimes say, I like read the comments on purpose just to be like, what did they say today?
You're brave.
Yeah, you are brave. Yeah. I'm just like, don't at me. You send it to Tom. I don't yeah. want to hear it. He has some off color humor sometimes. And sometimes I get yelled at for yeah. it. And I'm like, stop it. I didn't say it. I did want to talk about that. You just ran your first marathon. So tell us about that.
Yeah.
Like, where was it and all the details?
So I ran Philly okay. because it worked with my schedule. It was drivable. It wasn't crazy expensive because, man, these races can rack up. And because I heard it was a relatively flat course, and that was important to me to not like add hills to an already very difficult task. And it was something I really wanted this year, or I guess last year, but in 2023. And I had always kind of accepted that my body and my feet and my mind would not run a marathon. I just like, it was drill. It was almost like it was like in my system that I was told, you're not going to run a marathon. You can run a half. You're not fast. So why would you run a marathon? And then, you know what? Matt and Bex told me I could do it way too many times. And I know that sounds so like, really, Marissa, but that's what happened.
No, I
it was crazy.
I believe it. I tell you, this community, it's more the community for me than the instructors, but the community has convinced me to do some what I would call crazy things. So I totally, totally get that. And what was the experience like? Are you glad you did it?
It's at the top of one of the best things I've ever done.
Wow.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I would say at mile 21.5, that's where my body decided that it was not as happy as I wished it was.
You hit the wall.
The sun was beaming. The gels were no longer like wanting to stay down. Everything around me just like had something attached to it. Like I would see something and think something else, like meaning like, you know, the weird thoughts that start to occur. I was like missing my dog, even though we brought her with us and she was in the hotel room that morning. Like all these weird moments just like happened. It's so hard, and I'm slow too. So because my pace is slower, I'm out there for longer. And I did have a in the woods experience, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do know what you mean. I had those too. Not fun. Not fun.
didn't have any why I trained. But it was also so funny because your name is on your bib. So people are like, go Marissa. And I'm like, do I know them? And, like, go Marissa. And I'm like, oh, they know me. And I'm like, oh my God, your name is on your shirt. But all these things are happening. So you're just assuming like, oh, is that my friend?
That moment they are. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And then the best is when they're like, you're great. And I want to be like, that's not true. That's actually not true.
She'd be like, well, you should see me normally.
Yeah. So, I mean, I felt really good at the half marathon mark. My pace was where I wanted it to be. Everything was good. And like I said, it was really like, you feel it at 17, you feel it at 18, you get to 20, you're like, yeah, I'm at 20. And then you're just like, oh my God, there's still a lot more to run. But I finished it. It felt good to have so many people care that I finished it, like in my community, because I shared my whole process. And it was actually weird. So I went to Peloton and like Matt is like, so what races are you guys doing? Like going from person to person. And I'm just like, I have nothing to say. And this is my chance to talk to Matt Wolpers and I have nothing to tell him. And so it made me like try to look for races and like, well, what can I do to like push myself? Because I am doing these progression runs, tempo runs that I never heard of before, even in like my industry, because I've never taught running. So like, that's not something that I do. I'm not a run coach. And so there's all these things I'm being offered that I've never had before because of Peloton. And so I just decided that like, you know what, you can do this. So that's kind of like where it came from. And then when I worked with Lululemon, they asked me if I wanted to be a run or a yoga ambassador for them. And I'm not going to lie, that moment was very special because it meant they knew that I was a runner. Aww. And I'd kind of always like hidden my running with my dog. Like, oh, I run my dog all over Baltimore City. And she's like a 65-pound pit bull that runs with me everywhere. And now she's 12, so she runs a lot less. But we ran like the whole city for many years. So it just kind of was like a cool moment, like this full on like, wow, you want a marathon. People believe you can run. You believe you can run now. Now let's see if your body believes you can run and let's run. So I did.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Yes,
absolutely. So are you going to more?
I was waiting for that question.
That's always the next question.
What's next?
Yes.
So potentially, if I were to get into New York City, I would like commit to walk run it because of the hills.
Yeah.
The hills, the bridges, because I've done the runs where they like simulate it. And they like talk you through it. And I'm like, this just sounds really rough. But it would have to be like a good offer. Like, we want you here. You got in. Or like, there's this beautiful location where I'm like, oh, this is a sweet run. What I really want to do this year is a half marathon. I want to push pace on it.
Oh.
Because if I can run a marathon, I'm like, well, you could probably run a half marathon faster than you did before. So why not try that? And that would also be a lot better probably for my body in the long run.
I was like, it is a lot easier on the old body. For sure.
Which is hilarious that I'm saying a half marathon is easy because some people would still think we're psychotic, but you know.
For sure. But it's all relative,
like,
right?
Like Tom, he thinks we're crazy right now.
He does. Oh, yeah. He does. Yeah.
I'm like, do they have cars?
He's a great supporter though. He will stand there and he goes back to the hotel room because I guarantee you I am slower at running than you are. And
see a movie.
And exactly. He has time to watch a movie or to then come out to meet me at the finish line.
But I'll be there.
He's always there.
It'll be cold and rainy. I haven't missed one yet.
He's not.
That's good.
It's pretty special to do things that you didn't think that you could do or you weren't sure that you could do. It's pretty special to do that.
I find it fascinating and so much that, like, I know running a marathon or half marathon is a major challenge, but I find it fascinating that it's a challenge for someone like you who is
been
so
fit your whole
so
life
fit, and fitness is such a part of your life, but that even someone like you were intimidated by a marathon and overcame it. That's fascinating. I would have thought, oh, well, you have all the pieces in place. You just run a little bit and you'll be good, right?
Well, and that's why it's so intimidating, because everyone assumes that it's like doable, it's acceptable, it's this, but like, I have big old bunions on my feet that I was born with and they hurt. So it's like that finally I have this wonderful shoe that I love. I love running in like Brooks Glycerin. For me, they're just like the cushiest of cushion. And I had to be like, Marissa, you can't fail. Like, a lot of people want you to do this because I have this yoga side to me. I can fail. Like, why can I fail? Because if I'm miserable, I can stop. So I think because I have this like type A fitness brain, organized, run my business, but then I have this B, I can meditate, I can believe in like magical mermaids, right? Then I can run the marathon. So there's like this balance of that. But I think that's why it's so intimidating too, to try something, because you assume I can do it.
No, I totally get that.
I'm like, I'm struggling.
I totally get that.
Well, I personally think it's pretty great that you share the struggle though, because I think if you make it look easy and it's not, that's really not very authentic for people who are very intimidated for different reasons. And I think that it's like, it is something hard. It's not something that just anybody can choose to do. There's a lot of people that never run a marathon, never run a half marathon, and that's okay too. But
to show that there are lots of different ways to be fit.
Exactly.
And that being fit in one area doesn't necessarily equate to success or fitness in another area.
Yeah, we were fascinated by, I don't know if you saw the story whenever Tunde ran the New York City Marathon. Mm-hmm. And then like she was really struggling at the end. Mm-hmm. And we actually had the lady on our podcast who helped her over the finish line.
Aww.
But I mean, Tunde is such a badass in every area. Like just there's, period, full stop.
There's
you know?
No way that that woman is not fit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And for her to be open about that it was hard is, I think, really good for people to hear that it's not just because you're fit, it's easy. There's still a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah. And I was really worried about the time by myself, like in your head, because I'm with people all day long. And so I do like my alone time and my like me and the TV time, things like that, to like get myself away from work or away from talking. But I actually found the like in your head part to be so interesting.
It can get weird in there.
Yeah. Well, and it like, but at times it was like, wow, I've never thought for this long in silence. And I've also never let myself run with anyone before, because I've always run with me and my dog, or me, because I don't want to have to deal with someone who's faster than me. Because again, I feared failing because they're fast, I'm slow. And I like had some friends offer to do the runs with me. And I was like, you know what? Why am I saying no? And I said, listen, we got to go my pace. And I set it up front and it was awesome. And I had these great conversations with friends who like, we didn't go that deep in general, but when you're with someone doing a 20 mile run, it's like, what else don't you know about me? Let's go.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, what other, you said you have the yoga retreat next year that you're going to be doing, and you might do a half marathon or potentially another marathon some other time. Is there anything else coming up on the horizon that you would like to share?
Well, I am getting married in like a month and a half. So I've been planning a wedding while I'm running a business. Thanks. We've been together for a very long time. So it's just the right time for us to do this. So I've been planning a wedding during this process too, which has been exciting. But other than that, just a lot of fun, new fitness and wellness adventures coming up in the Baltimore, DC, Virginia area. So the DMV. And, you know, hoping, like, I would really love to do like a mini triathlon again. Mm. I feel like that would be exciting. I just, again, find the right one. I did a sprint triathlon like almost like 8 years ago now and didn't know much about how to train. And now like, I feel like I really understand training. That was another huge thing I didn't touch on, but I had like two really good friends who do Ironmans, and they were so helpful in being like, listen, you need more food. You need more protein. These are the gels you need to take. This is what you got to do. And also I don't do textures. I don't eat, I've never eaten like gummies. Like that's not something I do. So learning to eat gels. Yeah. Was very hard. And I was like dry heaving the gels. Aww. And then I was finally like, all right, just get the gel down. And I kept telling myself, this gel is going to give you power. It's going to make you feel better. And so me and salted strawberry became best friends. Okay. I don't know why, because I don't even love strawberries, but for some reason I was all in when I finally figured it out.
Whatever it takes to get it down. Yeah. A lot of people that I know that do their long training, they'll do a mixture of Uncrustables with their gels, because those peanut butter and jellies, then you get your protein and it's still super easy to eat, right? And they're frozen when you start, so they thaw over time. So you can just like,
I was just on the train actually to Peloton. I love booking really cheap trains when I get into Peloton. I'll go up like super early with a friend.
Yes.
And we'll walk around New York, go to Peloton, we'll leave, and people think I'm crazy, but I think it's so much fun.
You're in the right place. We are your people.
You get it. You get it. And my friend actually pulled one of those out of her bag and started eating it. And I was like, what are you eating? And she's like, oh, I buy these for my kids all the time. They love it. I was like, oh, I've never had one of those before. And then I remember I keep putting them on my grocery list, but I keep forgetting to buy them. So Smart. It's a good idea.
They're great for training, especially if you crave real food, because you get the you get the sugar, but you still get the protein.
Yeah.
It's good.
Can you be an Uncrustable ambassador? Coke. Is that a thing?
I know. It's like, Uncrustables, come find me. Yeah. Thankfully, I do work with Noon. So I had so much electrolytes the entire time, which was amazing. Because again, like, this stuff adds up. So like getting to have that stuff just right in front of you was awesome. And obviously the gear from a like running perspective, the like nothing from Lululemon chafes, which is like magical.
Yes. That's funny.
If you cared to know that, I shared it.
The audience does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because so
my friend told me to get that like handheld water bottle. That was really good. Yes. I never had used that before.
Yeah. What is that?
Aren't they all handheld?
No, just like the one you're holding there. It's like strapped to your hand. So it like you're holding it, but you're not gripping it the whole time.
Because that's like, that's how else do you.
Because like after several hours of holding that, it like starts to hurt your hand.
Totally.
Yeah. It's annoying.
I was a teenage boy. I remember.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I told you.
Yeah. Don't come at me. Don't at me.
That's him. It's so funny. I was doing my long run this morning and I had on one of those running belts, and they're supposed to not move up, but they always do. They always do. But I had to take like a bunch of water because it was like hot today, and I needed the stuff before, and then I needed water for the whole thing. And I'm slow. So this was a 2.5 hour thing. So like, it's like, yeah, I hate all that. And I would much rather just carry the one in my hand, but I needed more water than what that had. So you can also do the backpack, but that's also annoying for different reasons. So
I haven't tried that for running. I've done it for biking, but I would be interested in trying it for... I'd be interested in trying it for running, like in the future, because the hand put thing did annoy me sometimes. And I almost like would not let myself drink the water because I would feel the weight of it go like too low or too high. And you play this game of like, am I going to be thirsty? But I had a lot of weird like Coke cravings. Like a lot of people crave beer. I never ever craved alcohol afterwards. It was like, I wanted a Coke, not a Diet Coke, not a Dr. Pepper, a Coke. And I don't generally drink a lot of Coke, but I ended up buying them to have them at the house. So I got really into those like Fairlife chocolate protein shakes, which my friends had to buy me from Costco because I don't have a Costco membership. And I'd be like, can you get me some more than milk? And they're like, yeah, we got you. I was like, thanks. And I would like trade off between sipping that and Coke at the end of a run.
That's so funny.
I can't toggle back and forth between something like that.
No.
Yeah.
That's what I did. It was just like one sip, next sip.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works.
Mix them together. Yeah. You have a whole new thing.
Yeah. I will say this. If you ever try the backpack, my favorite hack with that is to freeze the bladder on a hot day. Freeze it.
Okay.
And then when you take it out, it thaws while you're out there. And so if you have a long run, then you're able to keep it cold the whole time. Otherwise, you kind of end up with lukewarm water on an 80 degree day. It's pretty gross. Mm. So yeah, exactly.
Now, do you have the one where the water's like in the front?
There's like the...
I've seen both.
Yeah, I was thinking the backpack that I used was like, it had a bladder down the back of it. And then like it had like a little straw that you could like easily just grab while you were running and drink out of that. And so that worked really well for me. But I have never tried the one where it's got the multiple water bottles on the vest. But I know a lot of people do those too. Also, it depends on what marathon you're doing or what event you're doing to make sure that they let you have those, because that's a whole nother thing. Not everybody will let you have those.
My friend looked that up for me, actually. She looked up like where all my hydration stations were to be like, okay. And I actually didn't need to carry a water bottle because they were like every 2 miles for Philly. And then a good friend of mine's friend, Rutt, like, is in charge of the Philly race. You know everyone in the wellness world at some point.
Yeah.
So I listened to a podcast she was on, which like explained the water. And I was like, okay. So I knew that I would like jog to the water. I was allowed, if I needed to walk while I drank the water, so that would get all over me, and then like keep going. And it's funny because Bex and Matt have like a very big difference of like walking and running. Like some of them are very into... Or Matt is very into like continuously running, never stopping. And Bex is like, if you need to walk, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And so I tried to like remember both of those throughout and being like, you have to run a little bit more. So like, you got to keep those legs going. And I did. Like my legs kept going, like I said, until about 21.5, which I was proud of. But then I was like, why is this hurting?
Your body's got the lactic acid and stuff broke in your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't happy.
The other weird thing that I had never done before is I never worked out in a hat. Oh. And I have a lot of hair. So I always have like a big old bun on top of my head. I'm a big sweater. So I was just soaking wet the entire time wiping my face. And my friend was like, you know, if you wear a hat, it really helps if you have a lot of head sweat. And I was just like, there's no way. And she's so right. Yeah. And so I found this hat and I'm like, how did I not know this for this 3 years of my life?
You never knew they had a function.
I just thought it was for sun protection. And that's why everyone did it. I really never thought there was like this whole sweat component to it. And so now whenever I run, it's like, where's my hat? And so I learned how to make the ponytail like in the right place, which is like a very challenging part of running, and yes, make sure it stays.
Yes.
And then I ended up doing like multiple ties on it, like a whole ordeal. But
it's like when we finally got my son to wear a belt.
What age was that?
Yeah.
Last year,
14, 15. And it was just like, no, it serves a purpose. Like, it's not just,
yeah.
It's not, oh my God.
It's not just because we thought belts looked nifty.
That's really funny.
Yeah, because kids don't wear belts. Yeah. Oh my God.
And we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
teenagers are a whole thing.
Yes.
So that's not something you want to deal with.
No,
that's a job.
It is a job. Yeah.
So
I don't know anything about it, just so you know.
So what is your leaderboard name?
It is a marketing tool for me. It's at Marissa Walsh. It's just my first and last name.
Okay. That's great.
Hey, you got a name that's gettable.
Yeah, yeah. And you didn't have to be like at Marissa Walsh 1, 2, 3. It was just.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I was so happy about that. I'm not going to lie. But the one thing I wish it did is I wish it showed like all your hashtags, because I went and took Bex's class, but I forgot to change it to like Bex Beast to like my main one. So it said Team Wolfers, and then I felt really bad.
I have
like Kendall's on there. I have Adrian's on there. They're like some other favorites. So obviously other like biking and strength.
Yeah, of course. That's great.
I think it went unnoticed.
Yeah.
I feel like you're safe.
Or she noticed it, but she wasn't upset about it because I really doubt that they're changing their hashtags when they're on. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. But it was funny. My friend's like, we need to change these. And I'm like, wait, we're already logged in. And it was funny because you have to like log in and then you would have to log out. And I'm just like, okay, we're being silly. Let's just do this.
I hate showing up to a class late. Like that just upsets me so much. Yeah. And like when it's like you got 30 seconds and then it won't go fast enough and you're like, And so that's why a lot of times it's the same hashtag over and over again, because
you ruin joining the live class if they've already said your name, if you aren't there.
Exactly.
So it's like, why am I working out?
So do you have any advice for people just entering the world of Peloton as a fitness professional?
I mean, I think the best advice for anyone entering fitness and wellness, and especially the Peloton, is like take advantage of all components. So if you've never tried strength training and there's a class that says beginner, then do it or jump into whatever looks fun. And also I think because they have the music genres, I know from a good friend of mine who kind of goes up and down with workouts, she loves the different music genres that Peloton has. So I feel like if you're unsure of where to start, find the music genre you want to start with, or find a length of time that you're choosing to commit to. And I think having either knowing the class type, beginner, intermediate, whatever, and then knowing the genre is going to be exactly what you want. The length of time is going to be exactly what you want. And then the energy that the instructor provides is actually motivating and not upsetting to you. Then you can't fail. And that's, I think, why it works.
Yes.
You know, I'm nerding out, I feel like, with you guys right now when it comes to Peloton, but I love that you seem like you're all in.
I mean, this is the place to nerd out about Peloton. Like, that's what we do. Good. Yeah. Like,
I assure you,
there's no place you can do it. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I assure you, absolutely safe here. Safe place. And the listeners will agree with you.
Absolutely.
Like, the people who listen, they are all in too. Like, they love it. Yeah.
I find it interesting. I have some friends who take the same class over and over again. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
I don't get that.
I have some friends, who like don't want to be motivated. So like they want to ride with Cody because they find his motivation to be like happy motivating, not like discouraging motivation, if that makes sense. Where it's not like discouraging, but it's almost like too hard. And I'm like, okay. And the person, they said to me, they said, I don't want to hear that I can do it. I just want to be doing it. And I'm like, okay. And so it's always interesting.
I think that's one of the amazing things about Peloton is there's so many different personalities teaching. Because like your friend that likes Cody, like whenever, it's just like a weird tick with me, but like when he says, like, he calls people boo, that drives me nuts. Like, I can't do that. And like, if somebody tells too many stories about like stuff that I don't care about, I can't get into it. But like, I could listen to Maddie Majacomo talk all day. When he tells stories, I love it. When Bex tells stories, I love it. Like, I forget I'm running, you know, like that works for me. But that's why Peloton's amazing, because there's somebody for everybody.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Actually, the first class I took was Kendall. And so when you book the classes, they don't tell you the genre of the music. And so I'm like, if this is a metal class, it's like, I don't know if I can go. Like, I hate metal. And I was so nervous. And it was like pop punk or punk rock, whatever the, geez, punk. Yeah. Pop punk. Yeah. And I was like, yes, which was like all the music I loved in high school. So it was like, this is so much fun. Because, you know, again, if you're playing certain songs in your car and someone drives up and they're like, what is wrong with this person? It's like so normal in these classes to like listen to All American Rejects. And you're like, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, just let everybody know where they can find you in all the places.
Definitely. So on the leaderboard at Marissa Walsh. So I like to give high fives if you're in class, so feel free. And then also www.marissawalsh.com. So I try to keep everything the same at Marissa Walsh on Instagram and YouTube. So you can find classes with me if you don't want to take Peloton, which, you know, for whatever reason. And if you want to retreat with me, all that information is online too. So my brand slogan is Live Well with Marissa. And so I try to just explain to everyone that everyone's body is different, but you'll figure out the way to live well within your own body.
I love that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'm so excited to chat Peloton with you guys. It's one of my favorites.
It's what we're here for.
It is what we're here for. We're like a support system.
So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next week, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook.com/CrystalZOKeefe. They can find me on all the socials and the Peloton leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomOKeefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/TheClipOut. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/theclipout, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You get episodes early if we get them early, and you get a bonus episode, which we're about to record, which looks like it's going to be a lengthy one. There's lots of stuff in there that we weren't able to get to this week. So,
and all of the book club content is free for everyone.
Yes. Oh, and we should also say, due to popular demand, we will be telling people the Oliver Lee story this
yes,
week.
Yes, we will.
For people that were unfamiliar. So that's a doozy.
It is.
That is a doozy. So anyway, we hopefully will see you over there. And if not, we will see you next week. So until then, keep pedaling.
And running.
And rowing.